Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
So the Panthers fired head coach Ron Rivera yesterday after Carolina got beat by Washington for their fourth loss in a row and seventh on the season. It's being reported that the next head coach for the Panthers will play a significant role in determining Cam Newton's future with the team moving forward. It's been speculated that the Panthers could be moving on from Cam to free up nearly $20 million in cap space next season. And according to Fox Bet, Jim Harbaugh is the betting favorite to be the Panthers' next coach, followed by Jason Garrett and Josh McDaniels. How about those three names? Shannon, should the new coaching staff keep Cam?
I believe so, but I also believe that the owner has it right. I'm going to let the head coach, I'm going to bring him in, I'm going to give him power, and I'm going to let him decide. But I believe they should keep Cam because I believe he's their best option. Now, I say that, Skip, saying, okay, you're going to bring somebody that's going to be willing to work and put a system in place for that use his unique skill set. Skip, look, we wanted Norv Turner because we know what Norv Turner can do with conventional quarterbacks. Norv Turner, basically their route tree is the bang eight, which is the 1-3-3-4-5 and throw the skinny post. Mm-hmm. He has the deep comeback and he has the speed out. But that's not what Cam is. Now, if you hire Greg Roman, let's just say for the sake of argument, Skip, and I know he wasn't mentioning this, Greg Roman, okay, you see the skill set and what he's done with Lamar Jackson. Now, Jim Harbaugh, he had a guy that was very similar to Cam in Colin Kaepernick.
Yep.
So I think that goes a long way. But I believe if they were to say, no, Cam, we want to go in a different direction, we're going to clear the decks, we want someone else to be the face of our franchise, Cam will have suitors. It's being reported that he is going to have the surgery on his foot, which is going to keep him out 8 to 12 weeks, which means, Skip, by the time free agency roll around, he should be fairly healthy, and teams go in their medical staff to take a look at that foot. So I believe he'll have choices. But I do believe he's their best option. We see Kyle Allen now. They get 3 or 4 games of game tape on you, Skip. He sure doesn't look as good as he did in the first 3 games, did he, Skip? Mm-mm. Now he's looking like, okay, now I see why you went undrafted. Hmm. I believe Cam would be their best option, but you're going to have to be a coach that's willing to put a system in place that will work with his unique skill set.
Hmm. So I hear you, and you could be right about this, but let's start with this new owner, David Tepper, who just pulled the plug on Ron Rivera with, 4 games left.
Four.
Huge ego, potentially the next Jerry Jones.
Oh.
Quick point. In his career, he once worked for Goldman Sachs. He seems to have a real financial genius about him because he is a billionaire. And I read last night that he came up with a way to help save Goldman Sachs during the crash of 1987. And he thought he would be promoted to a partner after that. But he feels like he was passed over because, quote unquote, he was too loud and profane. This is the owner of the Carolina Panthers.
Well, I know how Goldman Sachs got bailed out. Government money.
Mm.
Just like a lot of the other ones got bailed out with government money.
All right. So, he doesn't need anybody to bail him out
now. Nah, he good.
Because his ego is big enough that he thinks he can recreate the Panthers in his image. Mm-hmm. So, he wants to start it from the top down.
Right.
He wants to start it over. So, I'm just going to guess. This is my educated guess from a distance, or my 2 cents from a distance. He'll want to start over with a new coach and a new quarterback.
Yes.
And
because both of those remind him of what? The old regime.
That's correct.
That's Jerry Richardson. He hired Ron Rivera and Cam.
And probably to his point, Cam has taken a lot of hits, man. In fact, I saw stats last night. He has taken the most hits of any pro football player in the time he's been in pro football. That's running back, anybody. Wow. He's taken the most hits of anybody on offense.
Right.
It's a lot of wear and tear.
It is.
And he's invited a lot of those hits.
Correct.
And he's dished as much as he has taken.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, he's had 2 shoulder surgeries, and there was some doubt early this year when he didn't seem to have enough gun left to throw the deep ball.
Correct.
And what did he do the best when he was running and throwing? He could wing it, man.
Yep.
So if you take that away from him, now 2 surgeries on shoulders and 1 on his foot, take away a little bit of quickness,
mobility,
maybe.
Mobility, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Would I like to see him as the Bears quarterback next year? Sure, I would. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a huge upgrade for the Chicago Bears. You could make cases, L.A. Chargers, obviously, right. Wherever Tom Brady doesn't go, in fact he gets pushed out the back door. So there will be plenty of suitors for Cam. And the truth is, heart of hearts for me, I would like to see him get a fresh start somewhere.
You could be right. Yeah.
Just start over and with a new big chip on your shoulder, because Cam can be pretty fierce when he's got a big chip on his shoulder.
And you know, Skip, sometimes when you're in a location for an extended period of time, people start to take for granted, and they don't realize how good you were. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, and they're starting to get a little taste of it now because they've kind of fallen on hard times because Christian McCaffrey's not losing his mind. So they like, okay, we're going to shut down C-Mac, and we're going to see what your quarterback can do.
Yep.
Well, now that C-Mac can't go for a buck 50 and 112 receiving, and Kyle Allen has to win these games, now you see just how pedestrian he actually looks. Mm-hmm. So maybe you're right, Skip. I think Carolina would be a great place, but like I said before, I believe he'll have his suitors. You know, if Jerry Jones says Jason Garrett will be a hot commodity on the open market, I believe Cam Newton will be a hot commodity. But again, Skip, it goes back to he's not everybody's cup of tea, mm-hmm. and you got to be willing to put him in a system mm-hmm. that fits his skill set.
Yep. So I've always been a big Ron Rivera fan, mm-hmm. and I think he's a rock-solid football coach yep. with a defensive mindset. But then last night, I start scanning his records as the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, and it's not that great.
No.
They're 6 out of 9 years, they had losing records. When they hit, they really hit. They went to the Super Bowl with 15-1.
Right.
And in the postseason, he's 7-3, which
that's pretty good.
That.
Yeah.
Okay. But do I blame David Tepper for saying, I want to start over? I don't.
Right.
Okay. That's fine with me.
Because that's what he said, Skip. He said, I knew I was going to be looking for a new head coach. Let me go ahead and start the
Just
process.
Just do it. And again, I liked his idea of, I don't want to be sneaking behind his back and trying to interview guys on the sly and have Ron find out about it before the season.
Right.
Because he said, I'm already hearing that some of the coaches who might be in play are already getting feelers from other teams
right.
that okay. need a new coach.
Right.
So he wanted to get ahead of that. I'm fine with all that. I also remind everybody, I loved Will Grier coming out of college. Mm-hmm. And he's the third string quarterback.
Right.
He has not had a chance yet.
No.
But I thought Will Grier was the second best quarterback in that draft behind Kyler Murray.
Okay.
And I want to see, and maybe they want to see, what he could do going forward with a new regime and a new coach.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe they're down. I have no idea. But I just know at West Virginia, he could light it up. And you saw some games.
Oh, yeah. He always really impressed me. Yeah. So I'm surprised he hasn't.
I think the thing is, but Tepper needs to understand whether it's going to be Kyle Allen or Will Grier. Or you go into the draft.
They well might go into the draft, mm-hmm. yep.
But just know, Skip, the likelihood of a rookie quarterback taking you somewhere, you understand you have some lean time now.
Well, he had a quote yesterday about that and said, I'm not this, don't look to me to be the savior. If you think I'm the savior, I want to introduce you to the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus,
right.
or I got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn, right?
So.
Okay, so I got that. So he's trying to temper
expectations. When you've had the kind of success that he has, that's easier said than done. Because he can snap his fingers and whatever he wants, when you have that kind of wealth, you can get. But it doesn't work like that in sports.
Mm-mm.
Because it doesn't, especially football, because you have a cap, you can't just be the Yankees or the Red Sox and go get, I'm going to get the best pitcher, first baseman, second baseman, center fielder.
True.
You can't do that in football. Mm-hmm. So you said, okay, yeah, I understand, you know, it's going to take some time. Are you really?
Mm.
Are you sure?
It's a process.
You have that kind of time.
Yep.
You have that kind of stomach for patience.
Jerry Jones dominated the oil fields of Oklahoma and Texas. And then he dominated the NFL for a while.
Right.
And then it's been since the 1995 season
right.
since he won a Super Bowl.
Right.
And it's been forever since they had any playoff run.
But Skip, the thing is, people look at what the Patriots are doing. They're like, that it's got to be. I mean, they can't be the only one that's doing. I mean, everybody practices. No, that's an anomaly. Like the Yankees winning I think they went 12 straight years and when they won 90 games, or they won, 7 out of 10 championships. Mm-hmm. Skip, those are anomalies. Those don't happen. They'll only happen once in a lifetime.
Mm.
So you think that somebody's going to be able to replicate at a destination what New England's doing? No.
Mm.
So get that thought. Skip, you ain't going to have no 17 straight season of 10 wins.
Mm.
Get that out your head.
That is true. But I wish Cam well.
Yes, I wish him health.
Yeah. Okay.
Everything else will take care of itself. I want him to get totally healthy, that foot, those shoulders, and then, go somewhere, if it's not in Carolina, that will embrace your skill set and put a system around you.
Yeah.
Not say, okay, well, this guy was great with Troy Aikman. This guy, he's a quarterback whisperer. But is he going to run a system that's conducive to what Cam can really do well?
Yep.
Yeah. And he had a nice post about Ron Rivera. You know, they had been together since 2011. Only coach he's ever had.
Right.
So, I mean, that's hard. That's a long relationship.
I mean, they did a thing, Skip. They were talking about the players that came in that draft. Cam out. Von Miller missed the game. J.J. Watt missed the game.
Yep.
Julio missed the game.
Yep.
All the guys, the top guys, like wow, 2011. But that was a heck of a draft.
It was.
Just remember, he's only 30 years old.
30.
So just keep that in mind if he's able to get well.
He's got a lot of football left. No mercy.
Pro Football Focus has released their quarterback rankings based on their play while also taking into account help from their team. Despite leading the league in passing yards, Dak Prescott came in at 6th. Behind the Cowboys QB was Tom Brady at 7, Aaron Rodgers came in at 9, and the reigning MVP, Patrick Mahomes, was down at 11. So, Shannon, did they get these rankings right?
Hell no, this is some bull jive. Mm. This is some bull flitters and every other kind of bull. You know what I'm talking about, Skip Bayless.
Mm, I don't.
You do. This is some bull jive, Skip. You see what
it is? What is bull jive? I don't even know.
You know bull jive.
Means you're angry.
Skip, just help me understand. You see, this is the problem, is that people can't get past. Mm. If you take Brady, B-R-A-D-Y, off the back of that jersey, and look at a guy that's 29th in completion percentage, 26th in yards per attempt, 19th in QBR. I thought we evaluate players on what they're doing, not what they've done. They can't let go of what he's done. That's his, he's done it. But there's no way anybody that's watching football today can say Tom Brady has played better this year than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has a better completion percentage, better QBR. What? Yards per attempt. My homeboy, Aaron Rodgers, is 22-2. Mm. 22 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Mm. My homeboy, after missing 2 games, is 20-2. Tom Brady is 18-6 and played every game.
Mm.
This is some bull. You know I know some bull jive, Jenny? They got Baker Mayfield 17th. If Baker Mayfield is anything past the 29th slot, it's some bull jive.
Yeah,
this is terrible.
Mm.
And they talk about, well, he's down because in the first 3 weeks he was the number one rated. Okay. And this is where I get this. See, this is where I get him at, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
Was Julian Edelman, was he throwing to Julian in the first 3 weeks? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jacoby Myers, Philip Dorsett? Yeah.
Okay.
The same guys he's throwing to now.
Wait, Josh Gordon? Yeah. Antonio Brown? Yeah.
Wait, no. He had Antonio Brown for one. So one game.
Yeah, you asked in the first 3 weeks. You said, was he throwing? Throwing to Josh
Miami,
Gordon.
Miami, right?
By the way, Josh Gordon keeps catching balls for the Seahawks.
I don't know what's happening.
Hey,
y'all can use it. You can use it. So that's what you do. You move on. You moved on, Skip. You got Mohamed Sanu. You wanted Mohamed Sanu.
I didn't.
Skip. You did not.
Skip. At some point in time, we got to be fair and evaluate and judge Tom Brady on what he's doing, not what he's accomplished, not the great comeback against Atlanta, not what he did in the AFC Championship game again, all that other stuff. Skip, that is there. Mm. That's finite. It's concrete. Mm. But you evaluate this man today.
Mm.
There's no way that he's outplayed Aaron Rodgers. There's no way he's outplayed my homeboy.
Mm.
Zero chance. I ain't got no problem with that. Dak, I think Dak might be a little higher. Dak, I'm going to give Dak some love. Dak balling. On pace to throw for over 5,000 yards. But for Tom Brady, you're saying Tom Brady, really? Tom Brady has played the 7th best quarterback position in the NFL this year.
Hmm.
That is some bull diggity.
Hmm. Interesting. You know what I love about this ranking?
What?
It's one of those rankings that's not subjective. It's off film breakdown. Deep second and third level breakdown of actual how did that throw work for that quarterback, right?
Yeah.
So I appreciate what you said about Dak Prescott because I completely agree. I'll go number 6. I would like to see him make a few more game-winning plays because I'm reminded.
Well, that's why he not high.
Okay, well, he in his first 3 years in this league, he led the league in all those that three-year period in game-winning drives. He has none this year. That's the difference in 6-6 and what could be 10-2 for this team if you close the deal. So I do love what they said about him because they point out that he has set a career high with 907 yards on deep throws. That's 20-plus air yard throws.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that ranks 2nd in the National Football League. And their bottom line takeaway is Dak Prescott has improved as much as any quarterback in the league from last year.
And guess what?
Thank
he on
you.
Pace to have the same record as he had his last year. So how much improvement has he done?
Okay. So now back to Tom Brady. And they point out once again, because it was their stats that broke this down, but he was rated number one in the league after the first three games.
Uh-huh.
Okay. By the way, that was this year.
Yes.
It wasn't back in 2007.
Yes.
It was actually this year.
Three games. Yes.
So that counts toward his overall ranking.
Mm-hmm.
He's dropped to middle of the pack since then. But that coincides with numerous miscommunications and inconsistency from a subpar supporting cast in New England.
Subpar. Skip, you see what they did?
They didn't do anything. They just spat a fact at you.
What about the quarterback is 42 and his legs and his ability to get out of harm's way?
Shannon Sharp, where do the New England Patriots rank in rushing? Can you say 24th?
Otto.
24th in the league in rushing. Help me out. The New England tight ends as a group, there are three of them who have caught balls, but not very many.
Okay.
Where do they rank in catches as a whole group in the whole league among tight ends? Dead last.
Yeah.
Dead last. The whole group has caught a grand total of one touchdown pass.
Yeah.
The whole group.
Yeah.
So you went from arguably, you might have a say in this, but arguably the greatest tight end in the history of the league, Rob Gronkowski. Well, you went to a three-headed lack of monster tight end group who is dead last in receptions. How can you function? How can you survive? How can you be all of a sudden?
Okay, your point is duly noted. But why was everybody beating me up when I said Rob Gronkowski makes Tom Brady's job a lot easier? Well, Tom Brady won Super Bowls without Gronk. Now you begging for him to come out. You're trying to coax him out of retirement. But you see, Skip, what happens is that as we start to age, our ability to do things and make everybody else around us better starts to dissipate. Mm. So what they've done is they've made it all about the receivers. Mm. They don't want to admit Tom Brady is aging just like that Nat Geo. When they do that film lapse and that flower, they plant the seed and all of a sudden over time lapse, it starts to grow and it starts to bloom. Mm. Right before our eyes.
He's blooming.
Tom Brady is getting older and older.
He's getting older and older. That's a new bloom.
You know, every December, he just blooms.
New era.
But let me ask you this, Skip. You talk about where they're rushing. Mm. Not one time did they mention anything about Sonny Michel last year. They talk about, did you see that comeback to Tom Brady? Mm. 3rd and 10. You didn't mention Sonny Michel. Mm. Had 3 touchdowns and he went over 100 yards. You didn't mention that. Mm. But now Tom Brady is struggling because of age. And I tell people, Skip, the thing that starts to go as you age as an athlete is not the part that you use the most. Tom Brady's his shoulder. It's his legs. His legs is not the same. Now you could dress it up.
He's never had any legs. What are you talking about? Seriously? Do you remember the 40 he ran at the combine?
Skip, I'm talking about
his legs?
No, I'm not saying, Skip, I'm not talking about his running. I'm talking about his ability to drive the ball consistently. Yes, great players, Skip. We always went great. And we can have that one game or that a few games or a few throws. But I'm talking about.
Are you saying he lost arm strength? Because I'd show you rockets. He's still throwing rockets.
Yep.
They don't lose arm strength.
Skip,
Brett Favre can still throw rockets.
Skip, but Brett didn't have any legs. Mm. It's the legs. You don't throw with your arms, Skip. You throw with the... Why you think... What is Dak doing? When Dak is doing that viral video, what's he doing?
Where did he learn that?
Skip.
From my friend Tom House right here at USC in LA, where Tom Brady goes every offseason.
But what do you have to skip in order to...
Tom House's number one client.
I get that, Skip. But it's not about his leg, because Dak is not doing this. Mm. He's doing that with his hips.
So is everybody.
It's his leg, Skip. But everybody isn't 42.
Mm.
That's my point.
Boy, he's throwing the ball just as well as he's ever thrown it. Unfortunately, the bulk of his targets have gone to little Julian Edelman and little James White. Go look at the targets. Way number one and number two.
Are they the same targets that were started when he was at the top in the first 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Was the target still going to James White and Julian Edelman?
No, there was Antonio Brown had a whole game of targets, and Josh Gordon got a whole bunch of targets.
Antonio Brown caught 5 passes.
Mm.
He caught 5 passes. You see, what you failed to tell the people, you said Tom Brady going in the last week was number one in completions, but you didn't tell him he was number one in pass attempts. Mm. That's like James Harden. James Harden has made more free throws than anybody in the NBA this year. He also has attempted more.
Yeah, but he's making 88%. That's a bad analogy.
Skip, think about this. He has the most completions, but he's 29th in completion percentage. What kind of analysis is that?
Mm. Well, it's 10-2. They're 2-10-2. I don't know. Quarterback has some say.
How much does the grand marshal have to do with the parade? Because that's what Tom Brady is. When he's been asked to win a game, what has he done?
Boy, he almost won one.
I took that off my menu. I took QBR. I took almost because people could coming in there is like, oh, do I take QBR today?
Well, you
do
sure have been using. You sure have been throwing QBR week. No. That's all I hear is QBR.
Because you love that stat. You love it, but yet when we talk about Tom Brady, you won't mention that he's 19. You love completion percentage until Tom Brady is 19 until 26.
Let's move on to your 29. Favorite quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Greatest thrower of football ever.
Yes, indeed.
In the last month, he had two of the most horrendous games of his career.
Okay.
Just horrendous, like embarrassment games at San Francisco and at L.A. Chargers.
Happened.
Yeah. He has now fallen, according to Pro Football Focus, to 27th in pro football in positively graded throws. That's horrendously bad. It's over for Aaron Rodgers. He's a shell of what he used to be.
Hold on, let me get this straight. Aaron Rodgers is a shell of himself.
Mm-hmm. What he used to be, or at least what you used to think he was.
What is Tom Brady then? A guy that's 18-6.
Well, that guy just won the Super Bowl. Last one I saw, Tom Brady won it.
You see what he said, Jenny? Mm-hmm. He won the Super Bowl. He didn't mention the MVP, Julian Edelman. Mm-hmm. He didn't mention Gronk. He didn't mention Sonny Michel and that running attack that led the league in rushing.
I told you Tom Brady should have been the MVP.
With a 26 QBR?
Did he lead the one scoring drive?
Five for five? You're making my point. Jenny, what did I tell him? I said, you can have a drive here and there, but consistency throughout the course of the game.
On your man, Patrick Mahomes, now goes to Tom Brady on Sunday. Mm-hmm. His negatively graded throws have increased by 5.2%. That's the highest increase in the league this year.
How do we know they're negative? Mm-hmm. How do we know?
They graded him. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll trust him.
You see what he did? Yep. Now, see, when we want to paint the quarterback at fault, we say negative throws. But see, Tom Brady, we're going to make it about communication with the receivers. You see what he did there, Jenny? I can do it any kind of way you want to, Skip.
Do you have any idea how bad Patrick Mahomes would look if you gave him only Julian Edelman and James White as his two quote-unquote weapons behind a shaky offensive line that's even been shakier than his?
Do you know how bad Tom Brady would look if he had to play behind that Kansas City's defense?
You know what?
Do you know?
Do you realize what Tom Brady would do with Kansas City's weapons? Because everywhere I look, there are nothing but weapons.
My God. Skip.
Brady has 1/100th of the weapons that Mahomes has. 1/100th.
Think about this. In the losses that he had last year, my homeboy's defense was giving up over 37 points a game. The man scored 45, they give up 40, they give up 55. The man scored 40, they give up 43.
Think about this. Tom Brady's only weapon is a little white guy who played quarterback at Kent State.
Skip.
What?
Skip.
That's it. That's all he's got left.
Think about it.
You're saying he's washed.
No, Skip. When you evaluate a player, you don't project out. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about this. When I'm evaluating these guys, I'm talking about this year and what I see. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about what they're done because I can't do anything about that. Nobody can do anything about that. Mm-hmm. And we can't predict the future. We can think, we can try. Mm-hmm. But you looking at Tom Brady, nobody in their right mind thinks Tom Brady has outplayed my homeboy and Aaron Rodgers.
I do.
You're in your right mind. That's what I said. Nobody. Right.
Mahomes remains one of the most electric passers in the NFL, Pro Football Focus concludes, but his overall efficiency has taken a step back since last season. And don't get me started on Carson Wentz, who's down here at 12.
Let this sink in. There's only been two players in the history of the game that's thrown for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards in the same season. And he was slightly on that pace before he got injured. How does a guy play two and a half games fewer but have more touchdowns than Tom Brady if he's that guy?
Did you see Tom Brady in the second half at Houston Sunday night? He put on a show. You'd already closed your book. You said, I got him.
Skip.
Off the first half. He looked horrible. I got him. Wait a second. He's still throwing. What did he throw for, 352? God.
He threw for 326. But that's neither here nor there. How many of those came when the game was nip and tuck? He had 187?
Brandon Bolden got his hands on the onside kick, or Brady might have pulled off another miracle down there in that state.
I know what he pulled off. Yeah. You saw the way he looked. Yeah. What did Colin Worth say about those throwaways at Tom Brady? Mm. They're starting to go up. Oh, what did he say, Skip? What did he say about the throwaways?
Well, he says, boy, he's got no weapons. Oh, he's got no weapons. Nobody can separate.
No weapons.
No separation.
Oh, now he gets no separation. Mm. You see? No,
well, help me out. I'm telling you.
Skip, these were the same guys that he threw to last year, minus Gronk.
They drafted N'Keal Harry in the first round. He's caught four balls for a grand total of 28 yards.
He's been hurt.
Okay, that's it.
What you want him to do?
Okay. Well, no weapons.
This was the same guy that threw to Deion Branch and David Givens and Troy Brown. Mm. All those guys. Jermaine Wiggins was his tight end. He won a Super Bowl with Jermaine Wiggins.
Boy, he could use Deion Branch right now.
Mm. Yeah. No, he couldn't.
Yes, he could.
No, he couldn't.
Give me Deion Branch in his prime, and woo, you'd start seeing some 400 yards.
Sam, all I'm saying is, mm-hmm. just evaluate it, mm-hmm. not what he's doing, mm. on what you see right now. Mm. And you see a player that's a shell of himself.
QB to base.
Shell of himself.
They always get everyone going around here.
Well, you are going to eat some big
words.
You're
riled up.
You're going to eat you some shell fish.
Skip, but see, I think we're going to talk about this a little later. No. I didn't say they couldn't win because Peyton Manning. Was Peyton Manning a shell of himself? Mm. Peyton Manning could have a game. Remember Kansas City on Monday night? He went for over 300. They were down 14. He brought them back. You remember the throws that he had against New England in the NFC Championship game? Mm. Come on, now, Skip. Come with me.
What are you talking about? Peyton Manning, I was the first one to say, Indy is making the biggest mistake they'll ever make. That owner is making a huge mistake. No. And Peyton should have won two MVPs.
No, I'm talking about in his last year.
All right.
Skip.
He hit the wall. Tom hasn't hit the wall.
Skip, he's not going to get it better. He ain't getting better at 43. Mm. He's not getting better at 44. Mm. So you can get that out your head, Skip. Mm. Father Time. Mm. What? Father Time, there's two times that you don't mess with.
You know what, Shane?
Father Time and Borrow Time. When they come due, they come due.
One of these years, you're going to be right about
Tom
Brady.
I'm right this year.
I'm right this year.
It's the last 3 years,
Aaron
so
Rodgers.
Here we go.
He had a birthday, too,
Jenny,
so
what time you don't mess with? Father time, and Borrow Time. When they come due, Skip, you got to go. No mercy.
So the city of Los Angeles is taking the NBA by storm. It's been fun to watch. LeBron and the Lakers have won 11 of their last 12 games and sit atop the West with an 18-3 record. Meanwhile, the Clippers are right behind at 16-6 and have lost only one game at home all season. Both teams racked up wins last night. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us now. I just can't believe that we are a quarter of the way through the season already. It feels like it's flown by.
Yeah.
So, in your opinion, right now, who is better, Lakers, Clippers?
Well, considering that the Broussard power rankings are coming out today, and in this sea of power rankings, these are the definitive power rankings.
Yeah. Good to know.
I have the Lakers ranked ahead, one spot ahead of the Clippers. Now, I know Skip and others will probably say the Clippers' schedule has been tough. And I'll admit, no other team has a list of victims, bodies, whatever you want to call it, like the Clippers. They've beaten the Lakers, the Jazz, the Raptors, the Rockets, the Celtics, the Mavericks. Here's the thing, though. They've played more home games than any team in the league. 14 of their 22 games at home. And the all those victories over those good teams, all of them were at home except Dallas. Okay, so they've had it fairly easy. I got to admit, I was glad to see the Lakers' victory last night over Denver. That, to me, that was a defining game because they have been beaten up on the Little Sisters of the Poor.
Okay.
All right, they have.
Yeah.
But last night, they go into Denver, obviously one of the toughest places to play in the league. Mm. AD completely shuts down Nikola Jokic.
Even sick.
Yo, it was.
You know?
Yeah, right. And
I think Jokic was sick.
Nah, yeah,
he was sick of AD.
Sick of AD.
But I'm going with the Lakers. Here's a few reasons in addition. One, I think LeBron James has reestablished himself. If not the best player in the world, that's up for debate. He's the best player in that building. He is the best player in that building now. He's reestablished that.
Reestablished.
Oh. They are the best tandem. LeBron and AD, because they're more versatile. Mm. We saw what AD did to Jokic. Who on the Clippers, and certainly not Kawhi or Paul George, can do that to Nikola Jokic, to a big man? So the fact that they have the interior defender in AD, the close to 7-footer, I think that gives them that tandem an edge. Obviously, they got depth. But here's the other thing, too. The Lakers, and I have to give them props for this, they are respecting the regular season. The Clippers, mainly Kawhi, is not. I'm sorry. And I have to give them points for respecting the regular season. I'm not one that's going to sit here and, you know, talk about LeBron or castigate LeBron for playing hard in the regular season. This is we praise Michael Jordan for doing that.
Especially somebody I know. I ain't calling no names, Skip Bayless.
And now no LeBron is respecting the regular season. AD played through shoulder, elbow, ribs. Last night, flu-like
symptoms.
You know somebody else would have sat out down the hall.
No doubt.
And so I'm giving the Lakers the edge. They're the best team right now.
Go ahead. You can chop it. Go ahead.
Do you realize that once again last night at Denver, LeBron James played almost the entire fourth quarter? It was all 11-19, so he took a few seconds off, and it was by far the most minutes played of anybody on his team or anybody in the entire basketball game. He's in his 17th year, and this is classic tortoise hare argument, because the tortoise is going to catch the hare, because the tortoise is Kawhi, because he's load managing for April, May, and June. And LeBron is going all out trying to steal an MVP in his 17th year, because he now leads the NBA in shot attempts in the fourth quarter. Why is that? Because a lot of nights, he's just stat stuffing through garbage time. He's playing 12 minutes in the fourth quarter against Atlanta. Seriously.
He loves the game.
Okay, he loves the game. He loves those numbers that he's putting up, because he's taking a bunch of shots.
You ain't saying about Tom Brady. You don't tell me anything about Tom Brady throwing in the fourth quarter.
Well, it's different who load manages and pro football. Nobody does.
Can I ask you something? Because I think I know how your brain works with LeBron. Do you think that he is going all out to win the MVP, and if it costs him in the playoffs, he has an excuse? I don't believe that. I know you don't. But do you think he's doing that, and if he runs, he has an excuse that he can say,
with the chip
I played
on his
too
shoulder
hard.
Because everybody said he was washed.
Washed.
So he's the hashtag Wash King. Watch this, said the Wash King.
Yeah.
And I'm watching, and it's great.
Yeah.
He's been sensational. And if you want to take that crown right now, you can have your crown at the quarter pole. He is cruising for a bruising, a literal bruising, because he is, I'm knocking on wood for him, because I don't like to wish
Thank
this
you.
On anybody, but he is asking for injury trouble down the stretch, because you can't keep doing this.
What is he asking for? Because he low managing on the court.
He's asking for freshness.
You got to admit this, Skip. Kawhi, they better win it this year, right? Because if he load manages like this and they don't win the championship.
When he hasn't load managed. He load managed all through his San Antonio
time.
Yeah,
but
look at all the games.
I get it, but
he load managed through Toronto last year and they won the championship.
Right, and so that's why people gave him a pass. But if he load manages this year and they don't win it, I think people are going to be like, look, play 82 or, you know, try to play as many games as you can like everybody else.
Hey, what this team, you can have it at the quarter pole. I'll give you that. And I told him earlier, Anthony Davis has made a case. He is the defensive player of the year so far. Mm-hmm. We got a long way to go. Three quarters of an 82-game season left to play. But he has been, to me, both defensive player of the year and MVP so far, because this team is way better than I thought
MVP
it would be. Yes.
Wow.
I mean, to me, he's just dominating. What he did to Jokic last night was shocking. Because Jokic against my Spurs in the first round of the playoffs last year went seven games, and we couldn't deal with him. We're sending three guys at him.
Right.
They sent one guy at him, and one guy sent him home. Like, he was the little sister of the poor last night.
When you got the big security guard, you don't need extra security.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? You get the more big mouth of you. Hey,
seriously.
Hell that.
I said this earlier, I'm going to say it again. If I had just turned on that game watching the Denver Nuggets for the first time, I would have said, who is that guy? He doesn't belong in the league. No, seriously. He looked unathletic, slow, and completely in over his head. He was throwing balls in the seventh row. Like, he was so overwhelmed. He was psychologically taken out of the game by Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Wow.
And guess what? That means Paul George or Kawhi will have to guard him.
Yep.
Paul George and Kawhi gonna have to guard AD.
Don't you think they're gonna put Harrell on?
Yeah.
Harrell don't start. You gonna start Harrell?
Zubac, yeah. Well, no, but when he's
Who's Zubac gonna what you gonna do with JaVale? You know, we got them skyscrapers.
Oh, you're talking about the Lakers. I thought you were talking about guarding Jokic.
Yeah. No,
Shannon,
Lakers.
You're missing the point. There is a behemoth in the basement at Staples. A behemoth. It is a seven-headed monster, and it can defend like the Lakers never thought about defending as a unit, as a team.
Yeah.
Because I love what Doc said last night. He said, this is, they played Portland at home, yeah. obviously. At halftime, we didn't make any adjustments. We said, something's going to have to give here. We either start defending or we're really going to have a long night. And Montrez said after the game, we just decided we're going to impose our will on them on the defensive end in the third quarter and create havoc. And they did. It was 27-17 Clippers over Blazers in the third quarter, and the game was over.
But here,
because they just took CJ and Dame out of everything they can do. They're just lost out
right.
there. The arms are too long.
The perimeter, Skip, those are perimeter players, and when the shots aren't falling, it's going to be difficult for Portland to get points.
When they can't get the shots
but
off.
But when you got AD, dump it down. Mm-hmm. You know LeBron can play with his back to the basket too, right?
Right.
You know LeBron, Skip, history shows us what LeBron does to Paul George.
Do you think he can back Kawhi down?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's
see. But he'll go by. See, that's the thing. They're great defenders, no question. But they don't defend at the rim. Like LeBron has had trouble historically with seven-footers at the rim. Even Roy Hibbert to a degree in Indiana. They don't have that.
Zubats ain't bad.
We flush on Zubats.
He's going to treat him like, who was that? Was in Portland? Was that Jokic?
No, it's Nurkic.
Nurkic. Yeah. He's going to treat him
like... He's going to get Portal next time.
Yeah.
He goes after that. That's his type.
But you know, remember, that's why Golden State got JaVale McGee. Remember, they inserted JaVale McGee into the starting lineup.
Right.
You better be careful.
Protection
with
at the rim.
He's my guy.
Okay.
He
loves saying his name.
He can leap. He took James Harden right out of the game.
Oh, man.
James had a shot to win the game at the end of regulation. It went two overtimes, and he knocked it into the 20th row.
Yeah.
It was a great block.
That's what we're doing.
Way to go.
I'm just trying to figure out how have you ever seen the best player on the planet not be in the MVP conversation at the quarter pole?
Hmm.
He's in the conversation.
Kawhi didn't know conversation.
Okay, but we got...
He's talking about Kawhi.
So you got Kawhi's
best player? No, that's what everybody's been telling us. You know everybody's been telling us that.
Kawhi has sacrificed regular season awards.
He doesn't care.
He's not going to be first team All NBA. He's not going even in the thought for an MVP.
Huh.
And all
but
the rest, defensive
should,
player to you.
Honestly, if he's not playing, he shouldn't be up
for right. Sorry. So he's given all that up
the cigar
for the postseason.
At the end of the year? Huh?
He better light it again. That's all I'm saying.
It ain't like nothing. It's going to be one of the more tricks of God going to blow up in his face.
And really? Everyone else is doing something else. Which
what's he on pace for?
I'm surprised Skip has let it go, but that's just me.
We're in early December, and you're celebrating like you just won it all. Yes, you are.
I'm just... my guy is doing is what I've seen him do for the previous 60 years.
My guys are positioning themselves to win the championship. Your guy is positioning himself. He hopes to win MVP in his 17th
We're going to take sweepstakes. We're greedy.
Fun season.
We're greedy. We're going to take sweepstakes.
Chris, thank you. Thank you for joining us. The Cowboys have lost three of their last four, including an embarrassing home loss on Thanksgiving to the Bills. That prompted Dak Prescott to say yesterday that he hates losing more than he likes winning. But the Cowboys have still held on to first place in the NFC East, thanks in part to the Eagles' 5-7 record after they lost to the Dolphins on Sunday. So now joining us, Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth. Mark, I think it's important for us to get your take on this one.
Okay.
A popular debate around here. Who wins the NFC East?
Somebody has to win it, right? They're not going to just basically say bypass it.
And somebody gets a home playoff game.
Yes.
Right. I'm going to go who wins the NFC? I'm going to go Philadelphia wins the NFC East. And there are a lot of things you can look at both teams. There are a lot of issues with both teams. I'm going to say something I've said for the last probably, I've been doing TV for 19 years, for the last 19 years. The organizational structure of the Dallas Cowboys eliminates them from winning anything.
You could be right.
And I've said this for 19 years. When you don't, Shannon and I played for Mike Shanahan. Love Mike Shanahan. Mm-hmm. Mike Shanahan's been a mentor. Mike Shanahan is a great friend. There's a certain fear factor that has to be present with your head coach. I talked about this yesterday. Sometimes, you know, as a Christian guy, people say, well, why does the Bible say the fear of the Lord? Back then in the Greek, the fear of the Lord was about awesome reverence for the Lord. That meant awesome respect. Mm-hmm. You have to have that for your coach.
Sure.
But you damn well better also be afraid of him. Mm-hmm. So when your coach says something, you better understand that he means it. And if you don't adhere to what he's talking about, you will be fired.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And we have that in Denver.
Absolutely.
They don't have that. If you don't like what Jason Garrett says, you just walk over to the owner and say, man, this is not right. And the owner changes it. And until that organizational structure changes, the Dallas Cowboys will never win squat. Do I think they're talented? The more talented, they've got a better roster. I think all those things are true. I think the Philadelphia Eagles will win the division.
Yep.
Hmm. Were you afraid of Mike Shanahan?
Oh, yeah. Because here's the thing, Skip. The thing is I know when you had Mike was also the GM, which is very unique. You don't see that very often. Everybody that was in that meeting room, and he let you know, you're here because I want you here. It ain't nobody, you know, the GM wanted you and I didn't, but you're still here. Huh. See, Skip, the thing is with the players, they know they're there not because of Jason wanted them, because of Jerry wanted them. So I can just bypass. You can't fire me because you didn't hire me. You got to dump the trash somewhere, Jenny. You got two trash cans. You got to put the trash in one of them because this is what we got here. Trash division and two trash teams. I hate to say that about your Eagles, but you're trash. Mm-hmm.
The Beagles.
Yep. Stop saying that. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys are not winning the division. Mm. I'm going to get them five cases up off you. I had that.
Five cases?
I got five cases.
It's been going for months.
Speaking of fear, I see fear in your eyes about who's going to survive in this division.
I'm not as confident as I was Friday going in because I knew we were playing the Dolphins. I said, we got us a win. And I told you, I said, Skip, we're going to be tied. Because y'all had already lost Thursday knowing that. I said, we're going to be tied. Mm. And they laid an egg.
My trash can is less full than your trash can. Your trash can more trash in it than mine does.
Right now.
Yes.
But after Sunday, after tomorrow, Thursday, you guys play tomorrow. After you lose tomorrow and then my team wins on Sunday, guess what? Both trash are even.
It doesn't matter. All that matters is December 22nd.
But you're going to lose again.
We can lose again, and it's still. All that matters is December 22nd.
Right. I got to predict.
We can lose the next two games, and
which
we just
crazy.
Might.
You're
going to
lose
so
three
crazy.
In a row, and they're going to fire Jason Garrett before the last game of the season.
Hmm. Well, they will not do that, but we could lose three in a row, but I don't think we will because I think we are going to win this division by default. I told you after the game on Thursday on Thanksgiving, my team was done. And then I got smacked right between the eyes by an Eagles or Beagles team that is done-er. It's done-er. It's got all kinds of issues that even we don't have. And it starts with the quarterback who is struggling. And it starts with no connection psychologically or physically with the receiver group. And I don't understand it. And then when I least expected it, your secondary just combusted right before your very eyes and Fitzmagic threw a party on that
he
secondary.
Did.
And all of a sudden, sometimes these things are just meant to be. I just heard word that Danny Dimes is in a walking boot with a high ankle sprain, which means that Monday night in Philadelphia, Eli is back.
Oh, that's
hard.
That is great news for my Dallas Cowboys because I promise you, Eli has a much better shot at pulling off an upset at Philly than Danny Dimes does as a rookie
got
quarterback.
Got no mobility.
Want to bet? Want to bet? I looked up Eli's record and it's 6-8 at Philadelphia. At least he has some success there. It's been a while since he's had success.
Right.
But I still, listen, just this year, game one at Dallas, Eli played pretty well. He was 30 of 44 for 306, one touchdown and no interceptions. Does that sound pretty good to you?
Is that pretty good?
Okay. And again, it's their guy, and they want to hitch their star to the wagon of Danny Dimes. And so this new regime said, we're going with our guy. And then remember, they're beating their chest about it. Well, where are those critics now?
Don't ask us what we think, because we know what we thought of him. That's why we selected him.
Why don't you ask those critics what they think? Well, I know what I think. Eli, I would give a shot of winning a Monday night game at Philly against a reeling Eagles team that isn't sure what it is. And if he comes out with a hot hand, have we not seen Eli get hot-handed on road in big games?
He's been on ice for a long time, Skip. Yeah. When is the last time you saw a veteran player spend this much time on the bench, Stink, and then all of a sudden come in and then throw a party in somebody's building?
Does he know how? Yes, he does.
He forgot.
Will he be afraid? No, he will not be.
If he didn't forget how, guess what? Danny Dimes wouldn't be there. Mm. He forgot how to win. That's why Danny Dimes.
That's the pride of Dave Gettleman saying, watch this, I got my guy.
No. Even if they don't select Daniel Jones, they select somebody.
Mm. This is not so much about the Giants, whether it's Eli or whether it's Dan. This is about the Philadelphia Eagles figuring out what their rhythm is at the end of the season, figuring out, I understand offensively, you can't give up 37 points to the Miami Dolphins, But this is, to me, is you've got to figure out what you are as an offense. They've had injuries. They've gone through different players. They've had different backfields. You know, Carson's been good. Then he's not been great. And then, you know, they've had up and down. It's about finding out what your rhythm is and then adhering to it, whatever your identity is. And they've had an identity issue because of the injuries to the quarterback, and then all of a sudden Nick Foles comes in the last couple of years and plays well at the end of the season. They've got to figure out, this is our identity, this is what we're going with, and sell that to their guys. Now that Alshon Jeffrey is back after a couple of weeks, and he had a big week last week, they've got to get that done so that this offense can be the thing that actually leads them forward.
Bottom line for me, okay, I trust my quarterback more than your quarterback. My quarterback willed my team to the playoffs and a playoff win last year, and he's about to do the same thing.
I trust my owner and head coach more than I trust your owner.
They can't play. They can't play.
Those two are
great. They cannot play.
But your guys ain't going to get the ball in the end
zone. You know what? My team loves to play at Philly. Okay. My team is really good in Philly. So I would trust them to win that game more than I would at Chicago or against the Rams.
Talk to me in 3 weeks and see how you
still feel. We'll be talking a lot.
Yeah,
we will definitely chat about it. We will have Mark back before then as well. Mark, good stuff. Always appreciate your time. No mercy. Following the Texans' 28-22 win over the Patriots, DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Gilmore have gone back and forth on Twitter. DeAndre said he should be doubled whenever he's on the field. Then Gilmore shot back saying that DeAndre was only doubled two plays in the entire game. They've gone back and forth. So, Shannon, whose side are you on?
I'm right with D-Hop. Gilmore, you've been shutting guys out. You've been blanking guys. Give it up. Yeah, you say, well, he only called, I kept him out of the end zone. But four of his five passes went for first downs. Hmm. You couldn't get him off the field. And that, and I'll skip, without to know exactly how many times he was doubled, I would have to go back and look at the game tape, and I would need to see. Hmm. But I did see on one occasion, they call what they call it robber now. We used to call it lurk. They're playing cover three. They're playing man coverage. And you see Devin McCourty come down to jump a slant or the in-breaking route. So I did see one, but it didn't matter. He caught four first downs on his five catches. You can't ask for any more than that. So I'm going to say D-Hop won this round. You might get an opportunity to revisit it. But Gilmore, give it up, bro. Mm-hmm. Just like when you pounded your chest and how you shut what you call him out, you notice he wasn't in that press coverage against D-Hop like he was against Amari Cooper. Hmm. He got the utmost respect for D-Hop.
Different physicality and different mindset.
Yeah, D-Hop, that dog.
He is that dog. I would agree. And I have high respect for both of these guys, but the New England Sports Network said it did break down the coach's tape and that it did find only twice in 56 defensive snaps that they actually doubled DeAndre Hopkins. Actually doubled him twice. That there were versions of all kinds of things going on. And it's hard because that defense is so versatile.
Right.
It's so multiple that it's hard to know exactly if he was completely alone on him every time. But whatever. That's pretty impressive. And obviously, and unfortunately for me and my team, Stephon set the bar so high the game before. He shut out Amari Cooper. He shut him out.
Yeah.
He took him psychologically out of the game to where in one series – Amari goes over and he's like pouting on the sideline, like I can't get open.
Put his jacket on.
Really? Put his jacket on. Yeah. Well, what are you doing?
Right. But Skip, the thing is, like, look, when you're the shutdown corner, when you said, okay, I'm that guy, I'm in the role of Deion Sanders, I'm the Darrell Reeves, the Rod Woodson, all those guys that lock it up one on one. Bro, just, hey, he got me. He got the best of me. His team won. He caught some passes.
I hear you about the first downs, but. Still, 5 for 64 is pretty great against that guy.
Skip.
In that building,
Skip,
with that crowd.
He had five targets. He caught four of them. I mean, he caught, and they went 4 to 5. How many targets did he have? But he got four first downs.
Okay, I got you. But was he a difference maker? Did he change that? Did he tilt the playing field?
What it did is that it kept him on the field so they get three more cracks at you to get the ball in the end zone. That's what it did do. Because when they throwing the ball to Amari on third down, now we're off the field, we're punting. D-Hop is a different type of an animal. And the thing that also you have to worry about, they got other guys. They got steals. They got full of the fifth. Mm-hmm. Skip, Coach Belichick has a simple philosophy. Hold. They're not going to call it. We're going to put the onus on them. We're going to make you call it. Are they going to call it every single play? But you did see on a couple of possessions, they got Jones in back-to-back possessions of holding. I'm going to the officials every time, watch the DBs. They do more clutching and holding and grabbing than what is allowed. Mm. I'm going to plant that seed like Coach Belichick planted that seed about tripping on the Cowboys offensive lineman.
Okay, here's the point about this. How many other teams who have played the Houston Texans have doubled him if this is in fact the case?
A lot.
Only twice.
Yeah.
Only twice.
Yeah.
Every other team that's played them might have doubled him 20 times.
Well, the ones that didn't, he went for $150 and a bunch of touchdowns
that's,
on them.
That's
so.
What I'm saying.
I mean, Skip, that's unbelievable. I mean, you did good, but his team did get 28 points. And they got the dub.
Okay, but still, I'm not going to place the blame on him because I think he did his part. Again, the long ball, the home runs
right.
were thrown against single coverage.
And the thing is, Skip, I'm a firm believer. I don't need to we're going to show you we can throw the ball on Gilmore. I'm going to get them other guys because they're not Stephon Gilmore.
Mm-mm.
You don't get 12 points for scoring a touchdown on Gilmore and only get 6 for scoring one on the other guys. You get the same amount of points. So if I can get the ball, Skip, we played the Cowboys when they had Deion. We didn't throw at Deion that one time.
Mm.
But those other jokers, we ate them up.
Mm.
You know, I went for 6 for a 99 in the first half on the 2 tubs.
How do you remember
that? I don't know. We had 35 possessions, Jenny. We had 35 points in the first half.
You remember everything.
Coach might say, hey, call the dogs off. I wouldn't get that 100 on them.
I just have a feeling you wouldn't go back and forth on social media, though. Back
oh,
in
I would.
Day. Had that been a...
Check
you
the tape.
Would've?
Check the tape.
Okay. Well, never
Check
mind
the
then. Thought better
no
of you.
Mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.